Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Good evening, friends. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. Welcome to End Abortion TV. Great to have you with us, and thanks in advance for spending a few minutes with me tonight. We are getting closer and closer to the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, the 2019 sad and tragic anniversary of the day that the Supreme Court said it was okay to kill children. Children in the womb, killing them by abortion, and since Roe v. Wade handed down in 1973, some 60 million plus lives have been taken by this procedure. We're looking at this tragedy, this decision, and the things that are being done to reverse it, step by step and day by day here on these broadcasts, as we get closer to January the 22nd, the March for Life, is January the 18th this year, a week from Friday. And of course, we'll be there. We organize a lot of the events surrounding the March for Life. And we are probing this issue. And tonight I want to talk about it from the point of view of the person who was called Roe, the decision called Roe v. Wade, and was challenging a law out of Texas. And so Wade was representing Texas and its law. But Roe was a woman by the name of Norma McCorvey, and I knew her very well. Got to know her personally. I'll explain how, and then I'm going to let you see a little a clip by her. But she was Norma McCorvey, and she was from Dallas. And the story behind Norma is very instructive about the whole reality of abortion and the abortion industry. We know that the industry itself is based on lies. Abortion itself is based on a lie. You can't justify it or have it continue unless you cover what it really is, because the reality of what it is so terrible, is so disturbing, we have a natural aversion to it. It's the killing of a child. So those who are selling it have to deceive people about what it really is. In fact, it's the only product that, in order to sell it, you have to not talk about it, not show it, not reveal it. Usually, if you have something that you want somebody to buy, you're going to show what it is. You want to reveal that thing that you're trying to get them to buy because you want them to be attracted to it. And because abortion is so inherently unattractive, because it's so repulsive, ugly, and violent, those who sell it need to disguise it. Well, abortion and the abortion industry were disguised right from the beginning. They were disguised even to the woman who was about to become the plaintiff in the Roe v. Wade case, Norma herself. She was pregnant for the third time, didn't quite know what to do about the pregnancy, and was referred to attorneys who were working to change the abortion laws, Sarah Weddington being the principal one. They were told that there was this woman, Norma, who had this pregnancy that she really didn't know what to do with. And maybe they should interview her because maybe her circumstances could provide the basis for a case to challenge the abortion laws. Norma decided to meet them one day in a pizza parlor. And she explains later on that the reason she met with them, believe it or not, was that she was hungry. Norma didn't meet with these attorneys because she had some great idea in her mind that she wanted to be the plaintiff of Roe v. Wade, or end some kind of big injustice for women everywhere who could not exercise their reproductive freedom, or legalize a procedure that not only ends a pregnancy, but ends the life of a child. This was not in Norma's mind. As a matter of fact, when she met with these attorneys, and as they talked, she thought maybe they could help her with her pregnancy. But she didn't even know what the word abortion meant. When it first came up, she didn't know what they were talking about. She had to go look the word up in the dictionary. Norma was not into this to legalize abortion. She never appeared in court. She never understood what legal maneuverings Sarah Weddington was doing. They didn't help her with her pregnancy. Norma ended up giving birth to the child. The child was given for adoption, but she didn't have an abortion. But the case continued forward, but Norma never appeared in a courtroom, testified. She found out the outcome of the case that bore her name like the general public did. She found out about it in the daily newspaper. And when she found out that this case, which had proceeded up through the ranks of the courts all the way to the Supreme Court, that the case that bore her name actually won, she wasn't happy. She wasn't delighted and overjoyed. She was devastated, believe it or not. She made it clear to me and to others that this was one of the worst days of her life, one of the worst things she ever found out, that as a result of her case, abortion had been legalized. Well, that started a long story, a long period of time where she was anonymous. Nobody knew who the Jane Roe of Roe v. Wade was. But eventually, the abortion industry that fooled her the first time, fooled her again, and used her as a spokesperson, getting her to reveal herself eventually and come out with a book, I Am Roe, and attend various legislative hearings as the Jane Roe of Roe versus Wade. And she was on their side for a while. She even ended up working inside an abortion facility. But you know what? To make a long story short, she was never enthusiastically for abortion. She was always uncomfortable with the idea, even on the very day that her identity was being announced at a press conference. She told the abortion activist that was organizing the whole event that she really didn't like the idea of abortion, really didn't think it was so great. And yet the other side didn't want to have anything to do with recognizing that ambivalence that Norma had. Even when working inside the abortion industry, you know what Norma used to do? She used to counsel the ladies that were coming in to get their abortion and try to persuade them away from getting the abortion. Do you really know what you're doing to your baby? She would ask them. The abortion facility didn't want her asking questions like that. When they hire people for their clinics, they want them selling and pushing abortion. They don't want them raising questions in the minds of those getting the abortion as to whether they should get it or as to what it really is or how bad it might be. They want them to sell the abortion. Well, Norma didn't quite like that. She didn't believe in that. She got in a lot of trouble as she worked in that abortion facility. But right next door to that facility there in Dallas, Texas, and I've prayed in front of it, by the way, together with other pro-life activists there. But the local Operation Rescue group, actually in praying in front of there regularly and protesting actually befriended Norma. And again, long story short, she got to realize these people aren't all so bad. She became friendly with them, accepted the invitation of a little girl associated with Operation Rescue to come to church, came to church, accepted Jesus, and became pro-life. The Jane Roe of Roe v. Wade. The plaintiff of the case, technically the winner of the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion, ended up rejecting abortion. Ended up turning her back on the very thing that her case legalized. Ended up renouncing the advocacy that she was only half-heartedly into anyway. Astonished the country. But then again, this is not really that astonishing. When the grace of God comes into somebody to enable them to see truth for what it really is, to understand the difference between right and wrong, to understand the difference between serving women and killing children, Norma did receive that grace. And she did become pro-life. And she became Christian. My friend Flip Benham was the director at that point of Operation Rescue. And he ended up baptizing Norma. I still have the fax that came across my fax machine that day from one of the Operation Rescue members there. She wrote in big letters across the fax page, just three words, Norma being baptized. Well, friends, at that point, I was already director of Priests for Life. This was 1995. I was traveling around full-time, including to Dallas. Got to meet her pretty quickly after that. Got to meet her regularly, in fact. And Norma eventually started asking me about Catholicism and decided that she wanted to join the Catholic Church. So 3 years later, in 1998, I was privileged to receive her into the Catholic Church. And Norma worked side by side with me, with Priests for Life, with the other groups in the pro-life movement, putting herself on the line, stepping forward, being honest, repenting of her own involvement in this, and praying and working every day to see an end to the very decision that bore her name. Now, there's another sub-story to this, which is that on the same day that the Supreme Court issued Roe v. Wade, it issued Doe v. Bolton, another abortion decision. These decisions were meant to be read in the light of each other. They covered different technical aspects of the legality of abortion. But the Doe v. Bolton case, believe it or not, the plaintiff of that, Mary Doe, was a woman by the name of Sandra Cano from Georgia. I also knew her. And she was also against abortion. And she was also used and manipulated by the attorneys that were working on that case. Norma and Sandra, the two plaintiffs of these twin abortion decisions of the Supreme Court, whose anniversary is coming up, and the anniversary of which brings hundreds of thousands of people together to protest abortion, they got to know each other, Norma and Sandra. The three of us spent a lot of time together. Together with Janet Moran, our executive director, we were together for all kinds of different occasions, praying together, getting to know one another, traveling to different parts of the country together, and together seeking the face of God for America, praying for an end to the violence of abortion. Norma McCorvey and Sandra Cano. Well, there's so much more that can be said about both of them, but I want you to hear a little bit about this story in Norma's own words. One of the marvelous things that we were able to do together was to be on EWTN. I brought her to the studios of EWTN in Birmingham, and on the program that Mother Angelica asked me to start, called Defending Life, still airing today. And let me show you a little series of clips from one of the interviews I did with Norma. Now, this is before she actually became Catholic. This was in the period between when she was baptized in 1995 and when I received her into the church in 1998. In that interval there, we had her on our program, Defending Life. Here's Norma McCorvey, the Jane Roe of Roe versus Wade.
Father, God set me up. I really didn't have a chance. I had long since been tired of the abortion industry. I was really getting tired of seeing the women being ripped off and lied to. The abortionists, they were just getting rich. My heart just took a plunge, yes, so to speak. Then Operation Rescue, which is a pro-life organization, moved next door to the mill to where I was the marketing director at. And I started listening instead of screaming at them. And initially I was won by love by a 7-year-old girl named Emily Mackey. I started being friends with some of the protesters that I would call the protesters, and the Reverend Flip Benham, the executive director of Rescue, would come over from time to time and show me scripture and ask me if I'd read my Bible that day, and I told him I didn't have one. Yeah. So he went and bought me one. Emily never gave up on me. She's an evangelist, her and her mom and her sister. And Emily kept asking me to go to church with her. And I never told her no. I just kind of like put it off. And then eventually I said yes, and I went. I went to church after 20 some odd years. Pro-life conversion came after my spiritual conversion. I was sitting in the rescue office one day and I saw a fetal development chart. And even though I had counseled many, many women in abortion, it never really dawned on me until I looked at this one particular chart and I saw that it was a real baby. And it just, like the blinders had been taken off my eyes. And I'm 100% pro-life. I mean, abortion is not right anyway, anytime. You just can't go around hurting or killing something that is ultimately a part of you and God. I think Sarah Weddington's response is a pretty clear indicator to me of what women go through. Sarah Weddington killed her child in a Mexican abortion clinic. And even though I wanted to have an abortion, I never had one. But by the grace of God, my child lived. And Sarah has always had the fame and the power and the money that I never did. But the one thing I do have that she doesn't is a live birth, because abortion is final. There's no way a child can recover from an abortion. So I really don't have any particular words to say in 60 seconds.
Yes.
That would change anyone's mind. It's just that they should seek counseling from their pastors.
Yes.
They should go to their priest or their parish.
Yes.
They should really reconsider the dangerous thought that they just had about hurting their baby.
Yes.
Because this is a child from God. This is a creation from God. And they're just acting as the vessel for this child to come into life. And that child is going to bring them more joy and more love than that abortion is, because the abortion is just going to make them sad and very angry people. And I don't think a lot of women want that. God had his hand on me. I'm convinced of that now. I never wanted to go to any of the court proceedings or any of the lower court actions. I knew well enough to stay away from that.
Yes.
I was desperately ashamed of being Jane Roe when I was on the other side. And I was a real hurting person. I got involved in alcohol and drugs, and I lived a lesbian lifestyle, you know, for a number of years. But God's healed all that.
Right.
When I worked in the mills, I thought I was doing women a service. I didn't have a clue that I was doing them more harm than good.
Mm.
Not only was I harming them, I was harming myself because I was on complete denial. I thought it wasn't a baby. I thought it was just like a piece of tissue, a lump, so to speak. And it's not. I mean, it's a child. You know, I mean, that seed that the man and women plant, I mean, you know, it turns into a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I saw so much when I was over there. I don't have nightmares like I used to. Mm-hmm. I normally sleep a full night's sleep now, but I don't know. It's something that you'll never forget once you see it.
Yes.
It's like a big nightmare.
Yes.
And all the players that are involved, you know, they're just mean spirited. You know, they don't care about the women. The Lord has really directed my life. I mean, He really speaks to my heart, and He lets me know that I'm doing well. And, you know, I don't know what I would do without the Lord now.
Mm-hmm.
I even told Miss Rhonda not long ago, I said, if I would have known loving the Lord was so good, I would have came over a long time ago to make them understand, you know, that the Lord will forgive them for whatever they've done. I mean, my goodness, if the Lord can forgive someone like me, like Jane Roe, then He can forgive anyone. Bernard Nathanson,
right,
yes.
Right, right.
You know, he was an abortionist for a long time. I mean, he started the abortion movement up in, you know, upstate New York.
Yes.
And he's, you know, he's come to know the Lord, you know, and I know that he feels a whole lot better because I know I do. Before he left me some holy water in this great big container. And I don't know, I found something one day that I wanted to put holy water on. I think it was like a plant that I had that was ailing. And I went to get the holy water and found that it was gone. And then my roommate says, well, what happened to it? And I said, I drank it.
Story came from the first time that I visited Norma in her home, and she asked me to bless the house, and I left her some extra holy water. And, well, you heard from her what happened next. Great to hear that, isn't it? Let me know what you think, how this story impresses you, or how you're inspired by what Norma said there, and by knowing that even she, the plaintiff of the decision that legalized abortion, turned against abortion. It goes to show, abortion is all based on lies. It doesn't have the kind of support that its supporters want to claim that it has. And many of you in your comments are thanking me for sharing this story about Norma and about abortion. You know, really our thanks should go to her for coming out in such a powerful way, in a brave way, and claiming responsibility for this. Norma passed away just a couple of years ago. I was the celebrant of her funeral liturgy. But she wanted her story to be known. You know, in the latter years of her life, she wasn't able to go around and speak the way that she did for a number of years. But I told her, your story has been captured. It's been captured in videos like you just saw. It's been captured in print. I said, let's just spread that story around. You take care of yourself. And, you know, we kept in very close contact right up until she died. But brothers and sisters, she wanted the truth to be known. And this is one of the ways that we can honor her and fulfill that desire that she had. That the lie that she was told and that she told to so many others when she was on the other side would be contradicted, would be uncovered. We have the opportunity to do that, to shine the light in that dark place that we call abortion. So as we approach this sad anniversary of Roe v. Wade, this is what Norma would want us to do, to speak up against abortion, to march against abortion, to educate the people around us, especially if we have children, we have the ability to speak to the young people. She always had a special heart for that. And one of the last messages that I would always ask her as this time of year came around, this time of year was always very hard for her. In fact, the wounds that somebody like her carries from being involved in something like this are very, very deep. As one of you was just saying, Laura, the government used her. They did. And she experienced great wounds from being used. The people in the abortion industry did not appreciate her at all, even as they were using her. She turned to the Lord to heal those wounds, and she also made a Rachel's Vineyard retreat. But right around this time of year, that was very hard for her. She would always send a special message to the people who were going to march and pray, to the people who were involved in the movement. And she always said, reach out to the young people, tell the young people about this, encourage them to stand up for life. So as we remember this Roe v. Wade decision, and we're going to hear so much about it over the coming few weeks as the March for Life occurs and the Walk for Life in San Francisco occurs and many other events in between, think of Norma. Think of the personal dimension of this story. I'll share more with you in the coming days also about Sandra Cano of the Doe v. Bolton decision. Norma's story did come out in a book, and she used the phrase in that interview, won by love. The story of her conversion, won by love. And subsequently, she and I together put together a little booklet called My Journey into the Catholic Church, which of course was phase two of that journey that she made. So let's pray for her. Let's thank God for her voice, her story, and let's spread it to others. Share this video with other people who, you know, it's amazing that after all these years, so many people, they'll hear about Roe v. Wade, they might know what it is. They may have some opinion about abortion. But they do not know still that the very one behind the case that legalized it ended up rejecting it. They need to know that. Because if someone like her can turn away from abortion, so can anybody. And as she herself said at the end of that interview, it's also an inspiration for people to turn to God for mercy. Because if he can forgive her, which he did, then he can forgive you and anyone else that has been entangled in this terrible lie, this terrible violence called abortion. Well, friends, go to our website, endabortion.us, endabortion.us. Look up Norma McCorvey's name, and you'll see a whole lot more about her story, about my interactions with her, about her interactions with the pro-life movement. That'd be very good reading, a very good way to prepare for the March for Life and the anniversary of Roe v. Wade that is coming up. Well, I appreciate you spending some moments with me tonight to hear more about Norma McCorvey, good friend of ours here at Priests for Life, and colleague and advocate for the unborn. And brothers and sisters, we'll be back tomorrow morning, just a little after 9 o'clock in the morning, with some more messages for you and some more information as we get closer to the big events of next week. So stay strong, and now may the Lord bless and protect you and grant all your prayers in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.